I want to turn now to 1 John in chapter 3. First of all, chapter 2, verse 28, we'll begin there. Here it speaks about two types of people who are going to be there among believers when the Lord returns. 1 John 2:28. Little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, here are the two categories, some will have confidence, boldness. Wow, Lord, You've come. And there'll be another group that shrinks away from Him in shame at His coming. Why should they shrink away when Christ comes? Because there are things in their life they've not settled. They're not ready to meet the Lord. We must always live in readiness to meet the Lord. Every single day we must live like that. I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but I must live in readiness every single day. I see that the Apostle Paul, he lived expecting the Lord to come in his lifetime. Do you know that? He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, we who are alive. He doesn't say they who are alive or those who are alive. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we who are alive will be caught up together with those who have died in Christ. Together we will meet the Lord. So he's expecting himself to be alive. A few years later in 2 Timothy 4, the Lord shows him, you're not going to be alive. Your time of your departure has come. Then he says, okay, the time of my departure has come and I'm not going to be alive when the Lord comes. So I'm ready to go. So what I say is this, in that, like we sing in that song, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. One line says, the sky, not the grave, is my goal. I'm 75 years old, but my goal is not the grave. Even if I live to be 100, my sky will be my goal. I look forward to the coming of Christ. And I want to be ready. I don't want to shrink away from Him in shame when He comes. I want to have boldness. And He goes on to say in the next 2-3 verses how we can have that boldness. 1 John 3 verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are already called the children of God. That's already taken place. But for this reason, the world doesn't know us. Now we are the children of God, verse 2, but it has not yet appeared what we are going to be. There are many things about that future state in our glorified body, which it says is not clear. There are many things about that future state we can't explain. But one thing we do know, that when Jesus comes, two things will happen, not one. Many people say when He comes we shall see Him. That's only one part of it. We shall be like Him. You know, the ultimate destination that God has predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, God making all things work together for good so that we can be conformed to the image of His Son. That's going to happen. We shall be like Him and we shall see Him as He is. So our hope is a dual hope, that I shall see Christ face to face and I shall be like Him. And how do I know that this is not just theory, that this is not just an empty theology I have in my head? There's only one way I can prove that. Everyone, verse 3, who has this hope, which hope? Of becoming like Him when He comes, not just of seeing Him. Everyone who has this dual hope of seeing Him and becoming like Him, what will he do? He will purify himself until he attains Christ's standard of purity. You see how all these scriptures are pointing in one direction. How do I say I'm waiting for the coming of Christ? How do I say this is my living hope? I will purify myself. Again, how do I purify myself? Not sitting in a monastery. As long as I live, every day of my life, I want to serve the Lord. I want to have every opportunity to lead people closer to Jesus Christ. Whether I'm sitting talking to somebody, whether I'm writing an email to someone, whether I'm speaking to someone on a cell phone, or speaking in a church, anywhere. I want every day of my life to lead someone closer to Christ, to become more like Him, to build a church. I will purify myself as He is pure. The fruit of my service will be my personal sanctification. It's a wonderful gospel. And to make it more practical, when I am sanctified, increasingly, as I said, it's not a sudden thing. We are renewed day by day into the image of Christ. Like in the first chapter of Genesis, when the earth became corrupt, God could have, in a moment, completed the work. But He didn't do it in one moment. Day by day by day, He renewed the earth until finally it was perfect. And that's a picture of how God renews us from our corruption day by day by day. If we submit like the earth did, till one day we shall be like Christ fully. And to test myself so that I don't deceive myself, I read commands like promises, for example, like sin will not rule over you, Romans 6:14. If you're really under grace and not under law, if you're really come into this new covenant, one mark will be that sin will not rule over you. You'll rule over sin. You may slip up, but it won't rule you. No sin is supposed to rule me in the new covenant. In everything I will give thanks. And I read commands like this. Let me just take a few examples from Philippians, just from one letter. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6. I've learned to be content, verse 11, in whatever circumstances I'm in. Rejoicing always, anxious for nothing, content in whatever state I'm in, Philippians 2:14, doing everything without grumbling and disputing. I mean, that's just from two chapters in Philippians. These things will become increasingly real in my life. That's the way I can check so that I don't fool myself that I'm becoming like Christ. It'll become real in my life, and the people in my home will notice it. If I'm a father or mother, my children will notice it. If I'm husband or wife, your partner will notice it. You work in an office or in a church or in a fellowship, people will notice it. There's a spirit of freedom from anxiety and complaining and murmuring and grumbling, and a spirit of thankfulness because we believe in a sovereign God who is in heaven. In conclusion, I've always been challenged by this verse of the Apostle Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Thanks be to God who always, you know what always means, 24/7, leads me in triumph in Christ. I said, Lord, I want that to be true in my life. In the midst of everything I do for you, it's worthless if I'm not always led in triumph in my personal life. There was no man who served like the Apostle Paul. He's not talking about sitting in a monastery and trying to get victory over sin. He served and served and served and served and served, risking his life, suffering, being beaten, imprisoned and all that. But in the midst of all that, he got sanctification. He could rejoice always. He could rise, sit in a prison and say, be anxious for nothing. Philippians was written in a prison. He could sit in a prison and say, rejoice in the Lord always. He could sit in a prison and say, no murmuring, no complaining. He could sit in a prison and say, I'm content in whatever state I'm in. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. It's He who leads me in triumph. I remember when I first began to understand this glorious truth of the new covenant that sin need not rule over me. I used to say, finally I discovered how to get victory over sin. And the Lord said, don't say that. Say, Jesus keeps me from falling. Same message, but it's got a different tone about it when I say, I got victory. I say, Jesus keeps me from falling. Sin is like the law of gravity. It's always pulling us down. Even if it's a Bible. Down, down, down. But see, right now, even though the law of gravity is trying to pull this little book down, it can't fall. Because there's another law. The law of life in my body keeps it from falling. This is New Testament victory. It's not this book getting victory over the law of gravity. It's not me getting victory over sin. It's Jesus keeping me from falling. So that's why we need to point people to Jesus, who not only saves us, but who keeps us from falling. Can we bow our heads for a moment of prayer? Search me, O God. Show me if there's anything in my life that is making you sad. Anything that makes you sad. Show it to me, Lord. I want to get rid of it. I want to be all that you want me to be on this earth in the short life that we have. Give every one of us grace for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.